A person blesses God by remembering all that God has done for him and thanking him for it. Did you know that the greatest enemy of thanksgiving is forgetfulness? Forgetfulness. Forgetting what God has done for us. To bless the Lord is to praise and express love and gratitude for all that God is and all that he does for us.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life Tabernacle Church podcast. It's an honor to be with you today. This podcast serves as our church's weekly sermon archive. Tune in each week to hear what God is speaking in our community. Be sure to follow and share with a friend. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Today, I want to invite you to turn with me over to Psalms chapter 103. And it's also good to be with Keaton. I got to hang out with Keaton and Mint Dallas down at Messenger College when they were college students. And before they were married, they were both single, running around campus there, and we learned to love both of them very much and appreciate them. Psalms chapter 103, I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1. It's one of my favorite passages of scriptures, and could be maybe this five verses I'm going to read to you. I may have quoted these more than any other portion of scripture in good times and then in some difficult times, again, where we would believe in God for good things. But Psalms 103, beginning with verse number 1, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities." If we just stopped right there, that would be enough to rejoice over this morning, wouldn't it? But it goes on and says, "Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Amen. What a beautiful portion of scripture. Let's pray today. Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. And Lord, we just ask that you would just touch every heart that's here today. Minister, Lord, to the needs today. You and you alone know our hearts. You know our deepest need today. And Lord, we just ask that you would touch every individual that's here, minister to them today. We worship and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we ask. And everybody said, amen. Turn to somebody, your neighbor sitting next to you, and say, "You look better than the last time I saw you." Amen. And I want to minister to you on the thought today, this Sunday before Thanksgiving, a life of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, L-I-V-I-N-G, a life of thanksgiving. We've been called as Christians to be thankful, amen? It goes together with Christian. Unthankfulness does not, but thankful, being having a thankful heart does. And as we think about Thanksgiving, of course, we also think about our pilgrim fathers many years ago that landed at Plymouth Rock so many years ago. They knew nothing of the affluent times which you and I enjoy in the United States today. We are blessed in the United States. And during that first long winter at Plymouth Colony, seven times as many graves were made for the dead at home than for the living. A bitter cold, heavy snowfall, and icy conditions made it extremely challenging to establish their settlement and secure food and shelter. The ship that was to bring food and relief actually brought 25 more mouths to feed and not 1 ounce of provisions. And touching indeed is the picture of a man by the name of William Brewster rising from a scanty Plymouth dinner consisting of a plate of clams and a glass of water to thank God for the abundance of the sea and the treasures that were hid in the sand. The pilgrims didn't seem to have much in the beginning, but they seemed to possess a great gratitude. And it was upon this very thing that America was built. These stalwart people, strong, devout, and sincere, were timbers upon which our nation was founded. Despite the difficulties they faced, they expressed thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen? In the good times and in the difficult times, we're called to express thanksgiving to the Lord. And you and I have so many reasons today to be thankful for. In Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5 that I read to you, the psalmist praised the Lord for five things. And in this psalm, David calls upon his body, his mind, and his soul, and his spirit to join in one grand symphony of praise for the benefits God has so graciously bestowed upon him. Amen. In Psalms 103, verse 1 again, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." David begins with a self-sermon. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself before he talks to us. Amen. And as a preacher, I must preach to myself before I preach to you. And as a believer, we've got to preach to ourselves before we preach to others. Can you say amen? He's talking to himself before he talks to others. But it begs the question, how can a person bless God? How can we bless God? It's easy to see Jesus blessing. Jesus blessed the little children who gathered around him in the New Testament. But how could these children in turn be a blessing to Jesus? It's easy to see how God blessed David in his life, but how can David in turn be a blessing to God? David answered that question, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." Aren't you thankful for the benefit package that we have as believers today? It's a wonderful benefit package. A person blesses God by remembering all that God has done for him and thanking him for it. Did you know that the greatest enemy of thanksgiving is forgetfulness? Forgetfulness. Forgetting what God has done for us. To bless the Lord is to praise and express love and gratitude for all that God is and all that he does for us. With all that was within him, his whole being, the depths of his innermost self, David blessed God for who he is and for his unlimited goodness to him. If God blesses people by giving them good things, and how many believes that God is a good, good God? Then people ought to bless God by giving him thanks. Amen? Blessing God for giving him thanks. The challenges of life are temporary, but the benefits of God's goodness and God's mercy are throughout all eternity. This Thanksgiving, why not join with David and thank God for his many blessings that he has bestowed upon him? And we could be thankful as verse number three says, who forgives us of all our sin. Aren't you thankful that you can lay down on your pillow tonight and rest in peace knowing that God has forgiven your sin? Sin is such a burden to carry without the Lord. Amen? And David mentions this verse because sin keeps us from the good things God wants to bestow upon our life. And the pardon of sin restores us to the place where we can receive once again from our Heavenly Father. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible does say that the rain and the sunshine falls on the just and on the unjust. Even ungodly people receive the benefits of God, and they're unaware of it, that God is blessing them. But when we're restored back to the place that God intended us for be, we put ourselves in a position where we can receive from God. And how many knows by studying David's life that David needed forgiveness throughout his time with the Lord? Sin stained his past. He committed adultery with a young woman that he saw naked on the next door rooftop. Then she turned up pregnant. He connived to cover up that sin by ordering her husband's death out in a military battle so he could then make her his wife and try to cover up his sin. Adultery and murder, surely David's cheeks burned with shame. And he must have died a little inside every time he thought about what he had done. He could not take it back. He could not fix it. All he could do was to call upon God and ask for forgiveness. And when he did that, God generously forgave David of his sin. Romans chapter 7 says Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And according to Dake's Bible commentary on this scripture, the phrase "body of death" is a vivid metaphor comparing the power of sin to a dead corpse that would be strapped physically to somebody's body, signifying a constant, burdensome weight of sin that they are powerless to remove on their own. Can you imagine that, carrying around a dead corpse on your back and you're powerless to remove it? Highlighting the need that we have for deliverance through Jesus Christ. I love 1 John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's a pretty good deal. If we do one thing, the Lord will do four things. Amen? Where can you find a deal like that? God is a merciful God. One day a man was visiting with his pastor, and he picked up a book there in his office, and he began to read it, and suddenly the man shouted, "Glory! Praise the name of Jesus." And the pastor said, "What did you read?" The man replied, "This book says that in certain places the sea is 5 miles deep." "Yes, that's right," the pastor said. "What of it?" The man answered, "Why, the Bible says that my sins have been cast into the depth of the sea, and if it's that deep, I'm not afraid of them ever coming up again." Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? That your sins have been cast into the depths of the sea, and also the Bible says as far as the east is from the west. Amen. When your sins get brought back up to you, it's not the Lord, but it's the devil, the father of all lies, that comes to try to torment us. But there's no mistaking it. God offers forgiveness. All any person must do is repent and forsake his sin, and God will forgive him and revoke the penalty of sin off that person's life. All too often, we can only see the difficult circumstances facing us, or the things that we do not have, completely overlooking all that we have in Jesus Christ. On our very worst day, anybody ever have a bad day? I do. On your very worst day, on the worst day that you have, if we have genuinely trusted in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and we are redeemed. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. And the psalmist expressed thankfulness from the depths of his heart for the forgiveness of sin. When you count your blessings this Thanksgiving, how about thank God for his forgiveness? Amen. Thank God for his forgiveness. And then we can also be thankful for healing. Verse 3 also says, "Who healeth all your diseases." David declared that it was the Lord who healed all his diseases. David gave God credit for all healing and blessed the Lord by praising and thanking him. Listen, there is no healing that is not divine. God can heal miraculously, and we believe in the miraculous healing power of the Lord, and God can heal by means of using doctors and medicines in hospitals. More than 400 years ago, a French doctor by the name of Ambrosia Pare confessed, "I address the wounds, but God heals them." Amen? After the doctor performs a surgery, he puts it in the hands of the Lord to heal what he's done. Casey Treat, I'm not sure if you ever heard of him. He's a pastor out in the northwest part of the country. Years ago, back in the early 2000s, he went to get some additional life insurance, and he had to have a physical. The physical exposed that he had hepatitis C, the worst hepatitis you could get. And it was the result of a needle that he had used while inserting drugs into his life some 30 years when he was a teenager and lost without God. And here he was in a place the doctor gave a very, very small, like a 4% chance that he would make it even with treatments. And I bought his book and I read his book, and he talks about the journey as he was a faith preacher. I'm dealing with the fact of the treatments that he would have to go through in order to try to cure this disease that he had. But thank God, all these years later, he's still preaching the gospel. Can you say amen? God touched his body. God loved him. And I love one of his statements that he's made in the book. He says, God has a big toolbox. And in the end, God gets all the glory. Amen? God gets all the glory. Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But we can't limit healing to just physical healing alone. David says God heals all of our diseases, including those of the mind, those of the soul. I read of a woman that testified of how God healed her of her shame. Shame that she had grown up poor. Shame that she didn't have the privileges other people seem to have. I've heard of others testify that God healed them of a bad temper. God healed them of depression. God healed them of things that they couldn't get rid of in their memory. God healed them of things in their consciousness. God healed them of hate. Aren't you thankful today that God takes care of all diseases? And the Gospels say that Jesus went about doing good in healing all manner of sickness, amen, and disease. That's the God that we serve, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen. He is our great physician. There's no sickness, praise God, that lies beyond his healing power, amen. And if you have a sickness today, and I saw the prayer list, amen, and the prayer list is put up on churches all across America today, we serve a great physician that still heals today. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, David said, who heals all our diseases. So when you count your blessings this Thanksgiving, thank him for healing, amen? Thank him for healing. You say, but I'm not healed. Thank him for healing. Praise him in advance for healing. And then verse number 4 says, who redeems your life from destruction. I'm thankful today for redemption. Redemption means to buy back. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Everybody say all with me. All. Let me take a little break here. He redeems us from all iniquity. Not some of it, but all of it. You know, there's an old saying that says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin, in the end, will cost you more than you want to pay. We see the value of our great salvation by the price that Jesus Christ paid for us, the depths into which he had to reach in order that he might redeem us. The Lord not only redeems our souls from hell, but he also redeems our lives from the clutches of the enemy. Satan is bent on destroying our lives, but thanks be to God who redeems our lives from his power. Our world is filled with people whose lives are being destroyed by the enemy today. But Jesus said in Matthew 7:14 that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are on that road today. But David praised the Lord for rescuing him off of that wide road, that road that was leading to destruction. And in dark moments when tragedy threatened and calamity confronted him, God stepped in to save David's life. Amen. David had cliffhangers all through his life. Narrow escapes by the dozens, from the jaw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, from the sword of Goliath, in the javelin of Saul, from the armies of Absalom, in the forces of the Philistines, all bent on destroying David's life. But God delivered David over and over again. Time and again, God stepped in to snatch David from the clutches of death. And God has done the same for you and I. Often you and I were not even aware of the danger we're in, but God preserves us from deadly accidents. He preserves us from deadly situations. Amen. Aren't you thankful of that? You know, I remember many years ago, I worked in a little metal fab company. I've told Dallas about it many times. And I was working out in the field at Velastic's Pickle Factory, and I was welding this aluminum or stainless steel pipe that came out of the wall, and I was probably 18, 19 years old, and there was this drip every now and then. And in between the drips, I was wiping and trying to weld this attachment to it when this guy named Peter, he was the supervisor of all the maintenance there, he came and stood there, and he began to yell at me, and he said, "Don't you know that that pipe leads to hundreds and hundreds of gallons of alcohol?" And I said, "I had no idea. Nobody told me. Thank you for telling me, amen, that I was about to cause an explosion over here. You know, I was totally unaware of it." And over again, we have no idea the times that the Lord has spared our life. We left a little bit later, or we left a little bit sooner. Who knows the times the Lord has spared us and protected us over and over again. And we praise the Lord today with the psalmist who said, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord." Amen. When you count your blessings this Thanksgiving, thank God for protecting you. Thank God for redeeming you from destruction. Amen. Amen. The enemy wants to destroy us, but Jesus came to bring us life and life more abundantly. That's something to get excited about. Verse 4 also says that he crowns our life with loving kindness and tender mercies. Crowning signifies the lavish and abundant love God bestows upon us, not based on our own merits, but purely out of his grace. The Hebrew word for crown comes from a root that means to circle, to surround, or to hem in. David blessed God by praising him for all his encompassing love. God's love and compassion are our every side of us. There's everywhere we turn, we will experience God's love, his loving kindness, and his mercy. There's no way to turn without meeting the love of God. And a farmer once mounted a weather vane way up on his barn with the words, "God is love," painted on the weather vane. And his neighbor said, "Do you mean that God's love is changeable? Is as the wind is?" The neighbor asked. He wasn't too fond on religious things, you know. "And oh no," said the farmer, "it means that God is love no matter which way the wind is blowing." Amen. If the wind blows fair, God is love. If the wind blows foul, God is love. If the wind does not blow at all, God is love. Amen. Amen. God is love no matter which way the wind is blowing in your life today. God loves you, and he has your best in entrance. And how similar is to this, to the loving kindness and tender mercies of the Lord, which accompany us every single day. Psalms 36 and 5 says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." His mercies fail not, the Bible says. His mercies are new every single morning. I love John chapter 13, verse 1. Jesus, the Bible says to Jesus' disciples, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had a bad relationship where somebody stepped out in the middle of that relationship, and my heart goes out to you. So many people have, but we don't have that kind of relationship with the Lord. Amen. He's committed to the very end. When I take my final breath upon this earth, he is faithful and he is committed to the end of my life. Thank God. We are his sons and his daughters, and we're recipients of his unfailing love and recipients of his tender mercy. So when you count your blessings this Thanksgiving, thank God for his loving kindness and his tender mercies towards you. And then the last one is in verse number 5. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list. This is just 5 things he mentions here. There's many other things, of course, to be thankful for. But verse 5 says, who satisfieth your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. This reminds me of the words of Jesus that he gave on the Sermon on the Mount when he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And there's a great paradox here. We're satisfied, but we're never satisfied. My mother, I believe, makes the best apple pie of anybody in the world. In fact, I just had a birthday not long ago, and she made me an apple pie. It was wonderful. And I'm always satisfied when I eat one piece, but I'm never satisfied. How many knows what I'm talking about? I eat a piece and I'm satisfied, but because it tastes so good, I always want more. How many experiences the same thing over and over again? And so it is with the righteousness of God. We're filled, and the filling is so sweet and so rich and so full that we want more and more of God. And when we seek God's righteousness, thank God he grants it to us. Psalms 107, verse number 7, chapter 107, verse 9 says, he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. God can fill every longing and meet our very deepest desire in our life. You know, a godless world runs here and there in search for what Mick Jagger once sang, I can't get no satisfaction. Anybody remember that song? Yep, there's that generation back there. I can't get no satisfaction. Why could he not get any satisfaction? Because the emptiness inside us is God-shaped. And only God can fill that emptiness. As St. Augustine said, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts find no rest until they rest in thee. Listen, drugs, sex, money cannot satisfy the deepest hunger of the heart. Only God can. Only God can. But that's not the end. Verse 5 also says that God will renew my youth like the eagles. That ought to make us excited. Amen. You may be getting old on the outside, but inside you're being renewed day by day. Amen. There's somebody young living on the inside. Amen. Doesn't bear witness with the outside. How many knows what I'm talking about? But the eagle is known for 3 things: size, strength, and longevity. It's also known for its annual molting period, where that bird can be despaired and look worn out, but it goes and it finds a secluded place and spends time in there, and it goes through a molting period. And when it comes back out, it comes back out with a renewed vigor and a renewed strength. And when David's vigor faded and his strength had almost gone, God would give new vitality to cause him to keep on going. Amen. There may have been times when you despair of making it through, when you felt that you had gone as far as you could go, when it looked like you were about to go under, when your strength failed, but thank God the Most High God lifted you up and gave you a new lease on life. Amen. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Prayer is a wonderful thing. You know, the prayer, God doesn't need prayer. as much as you and I need to be in his presence and receive his reviving touch in our lives. Amen. Amen. When we get too busy to spend time with God, we're missing out on the touch of the Holy Spirit. You know, how many times have you gone into your prayer closet like this eagle that went into a molting period, worn out? Things looked rough on the outside. Things were going bad on the outside, but you went in and you spent time with God. And it's a miracle, praise God, that he can touch us by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what went in worn and worn out came out different, thank God. Thank God, only God can do that. No wonder the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." When you just consider these five things, no wonder he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And so when you count your blessings this Thanksgiving, thank God for satisfaction. Satisfaction. Thank God for renewed strength. Renewed strength in your life. And again, David's list is suggestive rather than exhaustive. These are not all the things in which he got thanks for. These are only some of the most important things. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Psalms chapter 100 and verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you." Many years ago, we pastored in Lansing, Michigan, and there was a dear lady that would sing the song every now and then, "In everything give him thanks." It's a song about Job's life and the difficulties that Job went through. But in everything give him thanks. And I remember on one Sunday night, she had sang that song, and I came home, and I was singing the song when I went to the refrigerator for a Sunday night snack. Anybody do Sunday night snacks? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night snacks. And I went in there, and I reached back. When I pulled it out, there was an open can of corn. And my hand caught that corn, and I pulled it out, and all over the refrigerator, all over the floor, that corn lay. And first, I started grumbling and complaining when the Lord reminded me, "In everything, give him thanks." Now, I didn't thank the Lord because I was clumsy and knocked the can of corn over, but I was in a circumstance of spilled corn. Anybody ever been in a circumstance of spilled corn in your life? And I just thanked God in that circumstance. Now, at that moment, the Lord reminded me that life gets a lot harder than a can of spilled corn. Amen. But if we can't thank him in the little times, we'll never be able to thank him in those harder times. We got to practice thanking God. Amen. My wife's grandpa lived to be in his 90s. He's gone in heaven now. He used to tell me, you know, when I would give a altar call and I'd say, "Well, I don't know if I should give an altar call or not," you know, every time. And he'd say, "Well, you need to do it because you need the practice. And we need what you're giving us." Amen. So I try to practice thankfulness. I try to practice offering people Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. But David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." So I encourage you, find time this Thanksgiving in every day to get alone with God and think of all that he's given you. Think he's all that he's done you and all that you owe him. And bless him. Thank him. So, "Oh, he's heard it before." Thank him and bless him and praise him again for it. And as you sit down for your Thanksgiving meal this week with your family, take some time to thank God for his blessings. Thank him for forgiveness of sins. Thank him for redemption. Thank him for healing. Thank him for loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank him for satisfaction. Amen. I'm satisfied in Jesus. Amen. I'm not craving for other things. I'm satisfied in Jesus. And thank God for renewal, spiritual renewal and spiritual refreshment that comes our way as the children of God. Amen. Amen. Could you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we thank you so much, God, for this season that we're in, this Thanksgiving season. And Lord, it's just a picture of what and who we are to be all year long. You've done so much for us, Lord, that there's so much to be thankful for. And Lord, I know that we face hardships, we face trials, we go through some very difficult things in life. But Lord, help us to never forget what you've done for us. And God, in the midst of our hardships, in the midst of our trials, Lord, that we would have a thankful spirit, that we would thank you, we would praise you, we would call out to you, Lord, even when we're hurting, even when things look very difficult, give us a thankful spirit. Give us a thankful spirit, Lord. Help us to practice the presence of God in our life. Lord, it'll spill over, Lord, out of us onto a world that's lost and dying and that does not know you. But Father, we pray, fill us with your presence, Lord, so that we can have your presence pour out of us. Touch lives that are hurting. Touch lives that need you in this day and time that we're living in. Father, we're so thankful today. We bless your holy name. We don't forget your benefits today. We're so thankful for all that you've done for us. With your head still bowed today, maybe you are here today, and first of all, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. You don't have the peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven. You don't have the peace of laying down on the pillow tonight and knowing that if you was to cross over into eternity, that you would go to be with Jesus. If that's you here this morning, you just slip your hand up and say, Brother Coleman, pray for me today that I would know Jesus as my personal Savior. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We rejoice this morning. Stand with me. We rejoice this morning and pray that every name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Amen. My name's in various places, as well as yours is written down here and there, but the best place for your name to be written down in is the Book of Life. Amen. When the book will be opened, and that's a roll call I don't want to miss. Amen. I used to love when I growing up in the church, and I forget which one of the hymnals it was, but it was page 182. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You know, when I was a school kid, and I always wanted to, when my name was called into class, I always wanted to say, here, I'm here. But I always thought every time we sang that song, that's a roll call I don't want to miss. Dan Coleman, yes, Lord, I'm here. I'm here, Lord. I'm here. Amen. To be with him today. Amen. Amen. As Keaton plays today, if there's any...